I really enjoy these sounds. Listen, spring has sprung here in New England, and despite the cloudy skies outside today, we're in that warmer weather. Nature is upon us, and that's a big season for birds, both with those visiting on their way north and others who make the region home year-round. Here with us now to talk about what we can expect to see and hear this season, Neil Hayward. He is a lifelong birder, serves on the board of the Brookline Bird Club and the American Birding Association, and is author of the book Lost Among the Birds, Accidentally Finding Myself in One Very Big Year. Neil, welcome.
Hi, Tiziana.
Hi, Neil. So glad to have you here. So listen, you sent some bird sounds over today. I loved them, and I want to start right there with one. Oh, we may not have it ready. There we go. There it is. Okay, so Neil, when I heard that sound, my first thought was, I hear that all the time. And when we previewed the sound earlier, Marquise in the control room, the first thing he said was, I hear that sound all the time. So tell us who, what were we just hearing?
That's a great one to start with. That's the state bird of Massachusetts, which is surprisingly not the turkey, but the black-capped chickadee. And you're right, it's kind of one of those sounds that is sort of the background to our lives. But if you're not paying attention, you may not notice.
And how prevalent is the bird? I have to admit, I couldn't even tell. Is that more than one bird making those sounds? Does the bird make a bunch of different calls? And how do we spot one in our own backyard, Neil?
So listening is the best way to find them. And they're singing now. The males are singing. That whistle call, descending whistle, is the male singing. They're pretty small. They're about 5 1/4 inches long, so a bit smaller than your cell phone. And they weigh about 2 dimes. These are tiny birds.
I'm sorry, dimes? Literally, like the weight of a couple of dimes.
Yeah, they've been with us the whole winter. And you may have heard them calling during the winter when they get their namesake, chickadee-dee-dee.
I love it. Okay, so you can tell I'm going to thoroughly enjoy the bird sounds here. I wanted to start with the chickadee, which is, as you say, native here, because turns out we're kind of a bird mecca in the Commonwealth. Tell us about that.
Yes, so this is a really special time of year for bird watchers. Migration involves about 3.5 billion birds crossing into the U.S. from Mexico, South and Central America. And Massachusetts is a great place to see many of those, especially warblers. We have about 35 different species of warbler. These are about 5 inches long, and they come in a bewildering array of colors and different songs. And for many of us, that's the highlight of spring migration.
All right, so you sent us sound for the Black Burnian warbler. Let's hear that. So you can almost kind of hear, Neil, why it's called a warbler. Of course, I'm making that up. It might be called that because somebody with the last name Warble found it. But you almost hear that warbling sound, right?
And that's one of the higher warbles. That's hard for some of us to hear. It's really at the top end of our hearing spectrum. These birds have made an incredible journey. These birds are coming from Peru and Bolivia, so 5,000 or 6,000 miles away to spend the summer, just a few months of the summer, up here in New England and up into Canada. And really these birds, we think of these birds as our birds that breed here and then they winter somewhere else. But it's better to think of them as us just borrowing them for a few months of the year. They spend their life pretty much in South and Central America. And for a few months of the year, they come here to breed and then they leave.
Might one see a Black Burnian warbler in any backyard in Massachusetts? Or is there like a specific habitat when they come here?
They're looking to refuel on their way north. So they're looking for any trees that have insects and caterpillars. Blossoming and leafing oak trees are great places to see them. And the more the better. If you can go to cemeteries such as Mount Auburn Cemetery or Forest Hills, parks like Franklin Park, Boston Public Common, Arnold Arboretum, and reservoirs, Chestnut Hill Reservoir, Fresh Pond, all those are great places to see some of these birds.
All right, so I want to play another one now that I think will be very familiar for people. When I hear that, Neil, I get sort of an adrenaline rush because I associate it with morning. When I get up and I got everything I got to do. Tell us who that is.
Well, I think the that same adrenaline rush is also experienced by female cardinals when they hear the male singing that song. This is, of course, the northern cardinal. Many of your listeners will be familiar with this bird. It's bright red male with a black face and a predominant crest. Females, I think, are more subtle, but in many ways more pretty, kind of brownish red with red in the tail and red on the crest. Almost 9 inches long, very loud, and you're right, singing almost continuously in the mornings these days.
So I like this going back and forth between birds that are, I don't know if I'm using the right term, Neil, in saying indigenous here, but really local birds, and birds who pass through. So I'm going to play another one here. This is the chimney swift. There's something so peaceful about that. That's a passer through, right?
Yeah, these birds, they haven't arrived yet. They'll be arriving probably next week at the beginning of May. And they're brown. They fly high in the sky. They look a bit like flying cigars.
I know what you're talking about.
And very loud, high-pitched twittering. They spend almost their entire life on the wing. And they can't perch. They have their feet are structured so they can cling onto the sides of buildings and chimneys, which is predominantly where they nest. These birds have come from the Amazon basin, like the Blackburnian warbler, just for a few months of the year up here.
So they're mostly flying all the time, except when they're in a nest?
Correct, yes. They're catching their food on the wing.
And it also strikes me that you had fairly great certainty, Neil, that they're not here yet. They'll be here next week. I mean, do birds really migrate with that level of punctuality?
They have to. So there's a real balance in terms of getting here too early or too late. Birds want to get here and set up territories and breed. If they get here too early, then there's no food for them and they'll die. If they get here too late, then all the best territories have gone. So they're trying to time that. And interestingly, that's something, that sort of clockwork mechanism has been affected by climate change. Hmm. It's thought that every decade now, birds are arriving 1 to 2 days earlier than they have in the past. And that's because trees are blossoming earlier, insects are coming out earlier, birds are nesting earlier than they have in the past. And also birds are expanding their ranges northward. So going back to that northern cardinal that you played earlier, that's a bird that was a rarity in Massachusetts. We think of them as these birds that we see all the time.
But really?
The first record of a breeding cardinal in Massachusetts was 1961 in Wellesley, before which they were really rare. Now they're everywhere. They've expanded their range up the East Coast, up into northern New England.
All right, so as we wrap, I want to hear one more bird, just because we can. Am I saying it correctly? The red-eyed vireo?
Good job. The red-eyed vireo. A fairly nondescript bird with a very big bill that's hooked, a bit like a red-tailed hawk. And this is a bird that will sing to itself all day. It'll sing, "Where am I? Here I am. In the tree. Look up here. At the top." And that's where most of the birds are, at the top. They're looking for caterpillars. And it uses that hooked bill to pick caterpillars out of their little hidey holes.
All right. Well, Neil Hayward, this is a treat. You are a lifelong birder, serves on the board of the Brookline Bird Club and the American Birding Association, and author of the book, Lost Among the Birds, Accidentally Finding Myself in One Very Big Year. Neil, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Tiziana.
Funding for WBUR's environmental coverage comes from An Unlikely Story Bookstore and Cafe in Plainville, believing that where you shop shapes where you live, with books, games, cards, decor, and more for specific interests such as the environment and climate change. In-person and live virtual events, more at anunlikelystory.com.
All right, folks, so we are wrapping the show today, and as we do, I have some news to share with you. Get ready for more Radio Boston on air, online, and on your phone when you text us. So listen closely. I'm excited to tell you this. You knew we were working on a special project. You've heard us asking you to sign up to text with us. Well, it's all coming together now. Starting Monday, May 9th, our show will be live at 11 a.m. You'll still be able to listen every weekday at 3, and we're expanding ways for you to connect with us. Listen, stay tuned for more details about our inaugural week as it comes, but we are excited to share that news with you. Starting May 9th, we'll be live at 11 a.m. or you can catch us again at 3:00.